Good morning.
It is Wednesday, midweek, October the 23rd, in the year of our Lord 2024. I'm John David Walt, and this is your wake-up call. We are waking up to the wilderness, in the wilderness. And the Lord is making a way in the wilderness, not necessarily out of the wilderness. Let's begin with consecration. Wake up, sleeper. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Jesus, I belong to you. I lift up my heart to you. I set my mind on you. I fix my eyes on you. I offer my body to you as a living sacrifice. Jesus, we belong to you. And we're praying in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today's entry is entitled, Is the Lord Among Us or Not? From Ambivalence to Awakening. Our text is Exodus chapter 17, verses 4 through 7. Hear now the word of the Lord. Then Moses cried out to the Lord, What am I to do with these people? They are almost ready to stone me. The Lord answered Moses, Go out in front of the people. Take with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile, and go. I will stand there before you by the rock at Horeb. Strike the rock, and water will come out of it for the people to drink. So Moses did this in the sight of the elders of Israel, and he called the place Massah and Meribah, because the Israelites quarreled, and because they tested the Lord, saying, Is the Lord among us or not? The word of the Lord. Now consider this. Is anyone thirsty? The wilderness is a place where physical thirst points to the thirst of the soul. Things were not connecting for the Israelites. Despite extraordinary demonstrations of God's miraculous favor, not only did they have no faith, they wanted to go back to their former life. This encounter at Meribah proved to be a tipping point in the wrong direction for the Israelites as far as God was concerned. Years hence, the psalmist penned his haunting epitaph as a warning for all souls in every successive generation. Psalm 95, Today, if only you would hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did at Meribah, as you did that day at Massah in the wilderness, where your ancestors tested me. They tried me, though they had seen what I did. For 40 years, I was angry with that generation. I said, They are a people whose hearts go astray, and they have not known my ways. Despite the extraordinary miracle of water coming from the rock, the entire occasion is remembered quite differently. And he called the place Massah and Meribah, because the Israelites quarreled and because they tested the Lord, saying, Is the Lord among us or not? We should be calling the place River Rock or Rock Water or Six Flags Over Moses. Instead, we call the place Massah and Meribah because of the quarreling unbelief of the people, even in the face of the unbelievable acts of God. Is the Lord among us or not? This is not a sign of unbelief, but rather of ambivalence. Ambivalence is the terminal cancer of the soul, hardness of heart. God can work with unbelief. Ambivalence is another story. Ambivalence is the willful disposition to be neither convinced nor unconvinced in the face of God's faithfulness. Is the Lord among us or not? Ambivalence creeps in, especially into the hearts of men, through a subtle form of stoicism, a super reasonable, impenetrably invulnerable spirit of resignation. Hardship in the wilderness will do one of two things in our lives. It will infuse character into our souls or wear calluses onto our hearts. Holiness or hardness. The difference comes in our response. The psalmist shows us the way in the preceding verses of Psalm 95. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before Him with thanksgiving and extol Him with music and song. The invitation is to sing. I find myself singing one of my favorite older new songs these days, Blessed Be Your Name by Matt Redman. You know it, Blessed Be Your Name. When I'm found in the desert place, though I walk through the wilderness, blessed be your name. The invitation is to sing. I want to encourage you to take every opportunity you can, alone or with other people, to worship the Lord. Kneel in your home and sing and shout. Worship is the antidote to ambivalence. It is more than an invitation. It is a command. Do not harden your hearts. Hear Psalm 95 again. Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker, for He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture, the flock under His care. Today, if you would only hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as you did at Meribah, as you did that day at Massah in the wilderness. And the beautiful thing about singing, and you know this from me by now, is that you don't have to be a singer to do it. Just make a joyful noise. Our worship becomes a lightning rod for His presence. Let's pray for deliverance. Lord Jesus, You are my deliverer. I receive Your deliverance from ambivalence and into awakening. And here's a prayer for so many men in our midst and some women. I confess, I believe some things about You, but I don't really believe You. I will lend You my strength if asked, but I do not give You my heart. I receive Your deliverance from my so-called beliefs and into real and true believing. Thank You, Father, for this invitation to sing out our songs to You, to bow down in worship. Ferret out the creeping ambivalence that would harden my heart. Cut away the calluses and restore in me the spirit of life becoming holiness. I want to live, not just exist. All of this will be for my good, for others' gain, and for Your glory. Glory be to the Father, And to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen. In our journal prompts today, will you sing out to the Lord today? And men, am I right about the subtle form of stoicism, a super reasonable, impenetrably invulnerable spirit of ambivalence, even resignation? Could that be the reason you don't really sing anymore? Are you ready to sing that away? I know I'm stepping on toes. I mean, I'm in a lot of different settings, and I look around, and there's a lot of men who just aren't singing. A lot of times, they're not even moving their mouth. I'm like, what's going on in there? I'm not judging. I'm just like, what happened? I remember seeing online like a Canadian hockey game once. It was being played in Canada, big game. And they fired up their national anthem. And oh my goodness, those people, mostly men, just lifted off the roof. And I look around a football game here in America, and I'm at them on Friday nights and sometimes a college game. Nobody's singing the national anthem. I'm like, men, why aren't you leading the way and belting out this incredible battle hymn? I don't know. What's happened to our men? It's ambivalence. And ambivalence is another name for hardness of heart. And nobody intended that to happen. It happens very slowly. It happens by just getting kind of, I don't know, bullied by the culture. I'm not trying to give anybody the victim card here. It happens a lot of times because men got wounded as boys by their fathers, sometimes by their mothers. They never healed. They never dealt with it. They just let it just kind of scab over and make a bad scar and callous. It's interesting, sometimes like a scar, there's just no feeling there. Well, I'm here to tell you that Jesus can heal that. That you just start opening up to Him, He'll heal it. He'll heal it. And there's just a thing about, like, if you don't heal, if you don't allow the Lord to heal those wounds from boyhood, the sad truth is you never really become a man. That's the sad truth. Love that in 1 Corinthians 13, Paul says, when I was a child, I thought like a child, I acted like a child, I reasoned like a child, he says. When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. I don't know. I think in my own life, it was too long before I became a man and put childish ways behind me. I've just been around so many men, a lot of times in Christian leadership and Christian organizations, and they're just still boys. They're broken boys. They've never done the work. The wounds have never been presented vulnerably before the Lord or other men. And they're just carrying it, and they're ambivalent, frankly. They're hard-hearted. They're not bad. I just want to give them a pat on the back for keeping showing up and keeping trying. Even though you're not singing, it's okay. You're still in the game. And Jesus sees you, and Abba Father blesses you. He's like, I love you. I like you, and I'm proud of you. Come on, let's deal with this. This is a short putt for me, he's saying, over those wounds. And some of them are so old you've even forgotten they were there. You've just become how you've become, and you've just accepted it, and you're just kind of dead. Man, don't live the rest of your life like that. Let him come. This is why banding, you know, I talk about banding a lot. It's why it's so important. Banding creates a context where this just sort of happens like naturally. Okay, here we go. We're going to sing, okay? Oh, worship the King. It's verse 11. We're going to sing all five verses. This is a big one. It's a big hymn of worship. Oh, worship the King, all glorious above. Oh, gratefully sing his power and his love. Our shield and defender, the Ancient of Days, pavilioned in splendor and girded with praise. O tell of his might, O sing of his grace, whose robe is the light, whose canopy space, his chariots of wrath a deep thunder clouds form, and dark is his path on the wings of the storm. The earth with its store of wonders untold, almighty thy power hath founded of old, hath established it fast by a changeless decree, and round it hath cast like a mantle the sea. Thy bountiful care, what tongue can recite? It breathes in the air, it shines in the light. It streams from the hills, it descends to the plain, and sweetly distills in the dew and the rain. Frail children of dust, and feeble as frail, in thee do we trust, nor find thee to fail. Thy mercies, how tender, how firm to the end, our Maker, Defender, Redeemer, and Friend. Amen. That's a robust song. Let's just sing that little psalm again. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand. Yes, the sheep of his hand. That's Psalm 95. Just one more bit here. I just keep going back to this psalm. It says, today, if only you would hear his voice. Let's just cry out to God to let us hear his voice. Remember the connection between obedience and hearing and wellness. It's all right here, but the hardness of heart, that's what plugs up our ears. Today, I love it, today. Would you hear his voice today? It's time. It's time. Awakening is upon us. Grab your seats, friends. It's Wednesday. Let's go out with courage and encouragement. I'll see you on the field. For The Awakening, I'm J.D. Walt.
We hope that today's entry challenged and encouraged you. And thanks for listening to The Wake Up Call, powered by Seedbed. Be sure to share this with a friend, leave us a rating, and subscribe wherever you prefer to listen to podcasts. Find out more and join the movement by visiting our website at seedbed.com/wakeupcall.